I want to begin the sermon today with a video.
Be anxious for nothing, nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. He'll put a mighty fortress around my heart and mind, protecting me from anxiety and worry. But how? How can we be anxious for nothing? How can we be thankful for everything? That's bigger than I think is humanly possible. But what I've learned is the more regularly I read and study my Bible, God's Word, with all His instructions in it and promises, the more I get to know who God is. The more I get to know who God is, how big He is, how strong He is, how much He loves me, all of His attributes, the more I can trust Him. The more I can trust Him, the more peace I feel. And I've found this throughout my life when I've gone through, my husband and I have been married for going on 53 years, and we've gone through quite a few trials in our marriage. And every time I've had periods of anxiety and I've had periods of not wanting to thank God for everything, but eventually God's brought me around to realize that's the only way to get through these things is to be thankful and to trust God. Reading His Word, studying, getting involved in good church with good teaching, meeting together with other Christians where you can share and encourage each other and hold each other accountable. All those things are things that have helped me to get on track when I feel like I'm not on track with these things. Because the truth is, we need to be prepared for the storms, because the storms will come. God didn't say if they come, He said they will come. All of our storms are different, but they're for our good. I've got this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She's the lady who went as a young child through the Holocaust in the concentration camps and witnessed many of her family members being killed. And she says, in order to realize the worth, the strength of my anchor, who is Jesus Christ, I need to feel the stress of my storm. So God gives us these storms, I believe, to give us the blessing of knowing we can count on Him, that He is there and that He is going to carry us. He's not promising what the outcome is going to be. He's promising you're not going through it alone. And that's where your peace comes from.
That was an excerpt from Heaven Rules. That's a title that Donna Agnew, the speaker in that video, came up with. And it was from January 14th. That's exactly to the day 3 months ago. Donna Agnew then and today was experiencing mesothelioma. And she's a real student of the Bible. She's somebody that we all admire and look up to, and we've learned a tremendous amount from, and we continue to learn from her. We have prayed over her, elders have prayed over her, and God has chosen thus far to not remove the mesothelioma, and her departure to be with the Lord seems very imminent. Humanly speaking, at this point, she wanted to be here today and was concerned about making it back to Canada, just her rapidly declining health made it difficult to get back to Canada to be with her extended family there. So again, humanly speaking, her death is quite imminent. First of all, I want to say this. She asked us to thank you very much for your love, the way you have cared for her and Craig. Craig is her husband. She just wants me to somehow express the gratitude in her heart, and it's a deep, deep gratitude. So thank you very much for your care for her and for others. She's just one of a number of people that have and are going through extreme difficulties regarding disease and death. Death happens. There's nobody that I'm aware of that's 140 years old. Folks will die prior to that. And yes, there's healing in the atonement. Yeah, we get that, but people still die. Paul's dead, and everybody has died of something thus far. It's not natural to us, because God has created us with an eternal plan for us to live in health and happiness for all of eternity. And things are tough here, and we're gonna talk about that today. I want to be really frank, really honest with you all. In spending time with Donna the day before she left, which was Thursday, I think, it's very, very plain to us. It just resonated. Maybe with the ladies on Wednesday, you can bear testimony to this as well, that her heart is already home. And I'm talking about heaven. She's left. Her heart is freed, and she's left the planet. And that's a beautiful thing. And Scripture speaks about that. Paul's desire was to depart and be with the Lord, for that is very much better. But to remain on here is good for ministry. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and following. So we all of us believers live in that balance. If you're not a believer, death is freaks you out, and you don't want to talk about it. And I get it. You need to be horrified. But today you can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and experience what you just heard as a testimony from this dear lady. So she has been an incredible testimony, and I could say walking with some of you all who have lost spouses have been equally a tremendous testimony to this old boy that takes it. I'm just not that bright. It's hard for me to get stuff. Why is part two happening today? That was part one. This is part two, as promised 3 months ago, because I want to give you 3 months. Oh, good to see y'all. I wanted to give you 3 months of, there's nothing like calling folks out in the middle of a sermon, right? I wanted to give you 3 months to do your homework. And everybody has it done, right? Sandy, if you would pass out the tests right now. Yeah, I gave you a homework assignment. I gave you 3 months to do it, and we're going to try to cover that today. It's a homework that we it's part of Scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. We can't cover both of those chapters today, but we'll cover a little bit of that. To really work and pray through that. And that's a preparation for life here, and it's a preparation for all of eternity as well. So we'll go over a little bit of that today, even if you didn't do your homework. I love you. David Bragg recently lost Doris. This is another reason why we're doing this part two right now. And numerous ones here have recently, when I say recently, Bendy, what's recently? 5 years, right? I mean, do you ever get over the recently? You know, so recently, there's numerous folks that have lost loved ones, and for us to periodically talk about something that Scripture celebrates but also recognizes as extremely painful. Is something for us to do. So this is a topical message. Again, it's part two of what we began 3 months ago. Our oldest son, not sure if he's here today or not, he has a friend his age that is any day now, we're not sure, going to pass on into eternity. I'm hoping he's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He says that he is. Death happens at all ages, and it's something that is a glorious thing to believers, but very difficult at the same time to believers. And so this is my goal today. By the way, I think the title on the front of the sermon, bulletin, is Heaven Rules, and then you have a subtitle, Because of Easter. We didn't mean it to come out that way. Heaven Rules, period. But the topic today is, the good news in the topic today is because of Easter. So we didn't quite mean it to come out that way. I wasn't thinking well when I came up with that, obviously. This is the goal today. How to experience pain without experiencing unnecessary pain. That may not be a very high standard to shoot from, but I think that's an important standard. How to go through pain without experiencing unnecessary, or we could even call it self-inflicted, pain. And I've given you three interesting passages to get our thoughts rolling. First one is the one you memorized when you were a kid back in Sunday school, because you had to have a verse memorized. And so you found the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. That's from John chapter 11, verse 35. Again, this is in, you should have a sermon outline in your bulletin. If you're listening online, you should be able to click on it and download it. John 11 is where Lazarus is dead, and Jesus shows up at the scene purposely well after his death. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, are weeping, and they're broken, and there's a lot of other people around that are broken. And you could come up with various reasons why Jesus may have wept. My personal theory is he's weeping because he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus has to go through more stuff in this life with a target on his back. Personal, no, we don't know, but here's the bottom line. This is deep. Jesus wept. He felt pain. He felt the anguish of other people. Jesus wept. Matter of fact, we're told in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was to be, this is 700 years before he came to the planet, a prophecy so you could identify him, look for a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Jesus wouldn't flip it. It wasn't like, hey, everything's going to work out. I'm sovereign, the Father's sovereign, everything's going to work out and just live. That wasn't Jesus if you were hanging around him. I don't read that anywhere in Scripture. Jesus was very serious about life. I think he was filled with joy. I think he was filled with peace. I don't think he fretted over anything, regardless of whatever movies you see about him. At the same time, he took stuff seriously. And when people are hurting, he hurts. And that's true today. So this is a deep sermon right now. Jesus wept. And if you're going to be like Jesus, a good way to be like Jesus is to weep when it's time to weep. And you can still have joy and peace at the same time. Next passage is Acts chapter 8, verse 2. What's happening here is Jesus has gone back up into heaven, and shortly thereafter, the early church is witnessing to folks. And Stephen is one of those guys. He was a deacon, but besides that, he's out witnessing to folks, and they didn't like that. And they brought him before the Supreme Court, that same Supreme Court that tried Jesus, tried Stephen, and they're just tired of everybody witnessing, so we got to make an example of this guy, and so they killed him. And we have these words, verse 2. Some devout men, now that word devout, underline that. That means that these are godly guys. And that's another way you could translate that word. These are godly men. Some godly men buried Stephen and, listen now, made loud lamentation over him. They wept bitterly. Did they not know it was the best day of Stephen's life? It was. Stephen gets to be with the Lord from that point forever. And yet, these godly men are setting an example of being real, and they're crying over death. In Acts chapter 20, verse 36. When he had said these things, the context is Paul is meeting with some elders, again, very godly men in near Ephesus. They're the elders from the church in Ephesus, so near Ephesus, they were meeting with Paul. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and Paul had shared with them that he was, this is the last time they're going to be together, this side of eternity, probably. So verse 36, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them, that's with the elders, and these godly men began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving, notice weeping aloud, grieving, especially over the word that he had spoken that they would see his face no more. These are godly men. Now, Paul was going to stay alive for a while longer, but these are godly men who are going to be separated from a friend, a loved one, and they're weeping. So why do I share all that? Because I want to make a really, really deep theological point. First thing we need to do to not experience more pain than we might otherwise experience is we need to be real. Everybody good with that? It's just really important to be real. And it's really important to allow and to encourage one another in time of sorrow, in time of grief, in time of missing somebody or imminently missing somebody, to be real. We do ministry training, that kind of thing here. And one of the things that we struggle with was, I don't know what to say. Well, this is what you do. You don't say anything. You just go cry. Everybody good? That's a successful visit. Just go, listen, try to feel what the person's feeling or the family's feeling, and cry. There it is. That's Ministry 101. That's what we do. Everybody good? All right. So point number one, be real. Point number two and three, flip your attention to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 and following. Just want to draw a couple of points out of this because I want to get to 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8 is an incredible chapter on this, and I would encourage you to read really the entire chapter. It comes into a wonderful climax of absolute victory, where if I wanted an exciting sermon, I probably would have gone with that. But I want to bring a couple of points here that Donna has brought out. Again, when we visit with her, and the ladies can probably testify to this, that she seemed to just focus on two things. Donna, give us advice. What's it like? You're facing imminent. We try to imagine it, but you're really there. You're facing imminent death, and a death where you're probably going to suffocate, if you can imagine. You're facing that. What is it of all of the teachings of Scripture? And she mentioned a number of them here. We've, in the past a number of months, we've mentioned a number ourselves. But she emphasized these two things for her. This is her testimony. And that's what I'm trying to do today is share her testimony. Number one was be real. Number two, this is her two, grow daily in the knowledge of God. And she's exactly right. As our knowledge of God goes, everything goes, including going through difficult times. It's all about knowing God. Knowing that you know that you know that you have peace with God. We covered that in part one of this. But really, truly knowing God. How do you have peace with God? Trusting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Having peace with God, getting to know Him better and better and better every single day. As we get to know Him, we can trust Him more deeply. And that's where the Bible comes in, His Word to us. And we've talked about that in the last number of weeks here. Remember Jesus speaking to Mary on Easter morning. Mary, why are you weeping? I think an emphasis on why. What's really going on? And then Mary, not yet recognizing it's Jesus, looking down, weeping, crying. That big question, who are you seeking? Describe this person. Mary, you're experiencing pain way beyond what you need to experience.
who is it that you're looking for? I want you to describe this person. Rehearse who this person is. And it's important that we do the same thing as we go through difficult times, to rehearse who God is, who our Father is, who our Savior is, to know Him and to rehearse who He is. And to, point number two, every day be in the Word learning more about who He is. That's how we go through tough stuff. And so just a couple of phrases in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Again, I commend you, the whole chapter to you, but just a couple of little excerpts if I could. Romans 8 and verse 18. I consider, and this is Paul's testimony, having gone through a lot of bad stuff, painful stuff, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, why would a Christian talk that way? There's no sufferings for Christians. We're children of the King, right? I consider that the suffering, he's talking to the church, of this present time, he's talking from experience, losing other people, being harmed himself. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared of the glory that is to be revealed to us. Oh, I mentioned two truths from Donna. Yeah, the first one is, and this brings up the second one. The first one is, and I'm going to talk about both of them in this passage and in the next. Number one, be real. Number two, grow daily in the knowledge of God through His Word. Number three, Donna emphasized, grow in the knowledge of heaven. Fascinating statement. Or to use her words, or the Bible's words, in your knowledge of home. Christian, you're not home. We're not home. We're on a journey to go home. We're not home. And we've got to, if we don't have that deeply ingrained, then you can make a statement, this person died in their prime. But if we know that we're not home yet, then the question comes back, when is this person's prime? Is it really 30? Or 30,000 years old? Or 30 million years? When's this person's prime? We've got to see everything from home's perspective. We are citizens of heaven, the Bible says. We are sojourners we're strangers on this earth, some stranger than others. We're sojourners here. Indeed, in this passage, we're in the birth canal. Let's move on. So, sufferings of this present world, compare them with the glory that is to come. Notice Paul's calling our attention to a comparison. That's why people like Paul can say, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, for that's better. He's making a comparison. The anxious longing of creation, so all of creation personified here, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. They're the pinnacle of creation. For the creation was subject to futility, goes on to describe some theological matters, which are very important, but I'm going to skip over them right now. Verse 22. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains. Now, grab that expression. Seems like we've talked about it in the past, but I want to elaborate a little bit today, thinking through it. The pains of childbirth together until now. So all of creation going through the pains of childbirth. Not only this, but we ourselves. Notice verse 22, all of creation personified. Verse 23, we believers ourselves, really important parentheses, having the first fruits of the Spirit means Christ is in us. What we experience, He experiences. Paul later will talk about the dying of Jesus still to this day, because as we die, He physically, spiritually inside of us, is experiencing the death of our physical body. More about that later. We ourselves groan within ourselves, this is the experience of believers, for all kinds of reasons, but bodily affliction and emotional.
waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. We're going home, in other words. There's going to be a redeemed body that fits home. And so all of creation groans. We ourselves groan. We are eagerly waiting, going home. Now, back to that, pains of childbirth. You can take that certainly from a mother's perspective, but you can take it from a kid's perspective as well, the kid in the womb. So I just want you to just think with me for a moment now. This is going to be a little reminiscing for you. I don't want to see if your memory is as good as mine. Do you remember being in the womb? Yeah, okay, we got a couple of takers on that. Yeah, remember being in the womb? It wasn't that bad. Okay, so the colors were a little dim, right? Stick with me here. Okay, the colors were a little dim, right? All right. The sounds were a little muffled, a little bassy, but they're not that bad. Relationally, you got people rubbing on you, you know, there's a little bit of relational stuff going on, right? But it wasn't terribly deep, but, you know, relationally, you know, you got the beat of your mother's heart, you know, so I'm sure there's something in that. And so when you feel, again, you got to remember with me now, back in the day, when you felt your mom's contractions going on, I mean, your world is rocking right now, right? This is rough stuff. And if you're a thinking person, you're like, it's time to fight. I'm staying here. I'm not going out wherever out there is. Y'all remember that? Sure you do. I'm not sure if my twin brother's here or not. Back here, okay. I'm a twin. And so we were C-section. And so... I very distinctly remember, there's some stuff I don't remember, but I distinctly remember talking to him, conversing, because we see this little slit appearing, and we're like, this isn't good. Fight this for all we're worth, man. We're in this together. We're going to fight this thing. And then, it gets bigger, and the hand appears. And I remember going, ain't going to happen to me, bro. And I remember flipping him over and just kicking and just booting his body out of there, right? I'm not going out there. You kidding? That's a scary place. Fight it for all you're worth. This life is the birth canal. Think of the sounds of heaven. We've got little dinky, 8 octaves or whatever we're able to hear. I don't know, maybe 10. I don't know what we can hear. There is probably 10,000 octaves. This is like little, think of the colors there. That's what God in Revelation chapter 21 in the first 5 verses of 22. John, God is giving John this revelation of where everything's going to end up. Now, Revelation is the new heavens and new earth, but probably somewhat comparable to heaven right now, probably to some degree. And translucent. Why is that? Because of the depth of relationships. It's clear. There's all these colors way beyond our spectrum of colors, and yet there's a clearness to all of it because we want to be together because there is no shame. There's nothing but love and warmth. Imagine that. Nothing but that. Unmitigated, constantly, all the time. Colors, incredible. Sounds, incredible. And we got the 5 senses? I got a couple of extra ones, by the way. But we got the 5. There's probably 20 senses there or more. I mean, boys and girls, we're in the birth canal. And the difference between the birth canal to life here, and this is a pretty incredible planet, compared to life here to life there, is immense. So a much bigger difference between life here, the birth canal, and life here, and versus life there. Life there is going to be just absolutely amazing beyond all comprehension. So I think what's going on in Donna is Beth Long, I think you're here somewhere, but anyway, Beth lent her a book called Home. And I think we shot out the members. If we haven't, we're going to, a link to where to get that book, or at least the name of the book or something like that, maybe a little bit more information. Of all the books that she's read recently, that's the one that has just stuck to her heart. So having said that, Beth Long is a very good student of Scripture, as well as Donna. And so, and I haven't read the book, but if they recommend that book, I'm recommending that book. Just throwing it out there. And don't worry about this stupid statement that we can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, okay? The theological term for a statement like that is absolute stupidity. That's just stupid, okay? The more heavenly minded we are, the more heavenly good we are here on this planet. Everybody good with that? We need to know our home. We still need to live here. Remember, talking to Donna, she mentioned to us a couple of things. I keep pointing over here because it's my wife, Karen. A couple of illustrations to us. She said, you know, before I was all, you know, caught up with heaven and, the vision of being there, that kind of thing. It used to bother me when Craig would leave his work papers lying around on the table or, you know, coffee table, wherever, you know, leave them lying around. She goes, it didn't bother me at all anymore. Why? Because most things on this planet don't matter in light of eternity. Most things, the stuff you get frustrated with each other about at home. You know, be respectful. That's not a license to be a slob at home. Be respectful, but most things don't matter. There are things that matter. The thing happening in so many places, including what happened last night, is a huge matter because people are at stake and the people's eternities are at stake. We want the gospel to be spread globally, and we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that governments of peace are the best way for the gospel to be spread, contrary to popular rumor. So we do pray for peace for that region. I got to get to your homework. We only got a couple minutes, and I just want to draw out a couple of things from your homework assignment, and we'll call it good today. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, a section of Scripture that you all have memorized because you've had 3 months to do it. Verse 6, God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a sentence that is. The light or the illumination of the knowledge. Knowledge brings illumination. This is what Donna's been trying to get us to do, get to know God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His character is illuminating. The light of the knowledge, knowing God, knowing what about God? His whole character, that's the glory of God. The glory of God is His character. Where do we get to know His character? In the face of Christ. You know what we need when we're going through just crazy hard stuff? Why does my wife have mesothelioma? Why does my wife have bone cancer? Why the auto accident that has broken his or her neck and they're paralyzed? Why? You know what we need the most? We need the face of Christ more than an explanation. Explanations are good. We want to know, and sometimes God speaks to him to some degree, and some good that he can be done through difficult things. But the number one thing we need when we're going through that, which is ridiculously hard, imminent death of a close loved one, we need the face of Christ. We need the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the character of God, and we find that when we look at Christ face to face. We need to know Christ. Knowing Christ means we know God. That's what we need. We have this treasure, next verse, verse 7, in earthen vessels, clay pots. We have a group that's used that as a title, a wonderful title for a group, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. That which God is working on the inside isn't about our physical power. It's about that knowledge of God, that glory coming through us. We are, and you're not talking about unbelievers here, you're talking about believers. This is the normal Christian experience, contrary to what you hear on Christian television. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're afflicted. We go through affliction. Persecution, but also bodily affliction due to what we read about in Romans chapter 8. Creation groans, our bodies groan, we groan even if we don't experience much persecution. We go through affliction. We're afflicted in every way. God doesn't protect us from being afflicted. I mean, He protects us to whatever degree we need to be protected, but not beyond that. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed by it. We're perplexed, but not despairing. You know, we hear about childlike faith. Jesus speaks about childlike faith. You know what childlike faith is? You know where childlike faith grows? When we trust Him, but we're perplexed. We don't understand. We don't get it. I don't understand why Donna has mesothelioma, or why so many of these other horrible things that are happening. Alzheimer's for a close spouse. We're perplexed. We don't get all of that. We know God can do some good stuff through it, but we don't get all of that. We're perplexed, but we're not despairing. That's, you know, what is childlike faith? That's where you just, son, little boy, trust me. This is what we're going to do right now. It will work out for your best. I can't explain everything to you, but this is the best way we're going to get out of the middle of the freeway alive. Okay, just trust me on this one, all right? That's childlike faith. Child doesn't need to know everything, just once needs to follow the Father, needs to know the Father, trust the Father. Persecuted but not forsaken. God allows things to happen where we're not forsaken by Him. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. We have pain, but it doesn't destroy us. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Notice that little word, always. That's the normal Christian experience. We're always carrying up. What does that mean? Is Jesus dying right now? Yes. He inhabits every believer. And as believers die physically, Jesus is, this is important, dying with them. His power is not diminished. He's on the throne. He's totally ruling. He's not getting weaker, but He's inside of every believer. And so He's inside of Donna right now. As Donna, if God doesn't work the miracle, if Donna doesn't reverse course by the grace of God, Jesus is dying with her. He's very, very present. Always carrying about in the body, this physical body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies, these old clay pots. So as this body deteriorates, again, I can ask it this way, where is the physical body of Jesus Christ today? It's you, if you're trusting Christ. It's your body. And Jesus knows that body's dying. It's an old clay pot. It's cracking. As that happens, the glory of God, the glory of the knowledge the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining through as we continue to worship Him and experience ongoing dying at the same time. Let me ask you this question. What is the second thing that we can do? What second good thing that we can do in heaven that we can't, I'm sorry, that we can do here that we can't do in heaven? All right. The first good thing that we can do here that we will not be able to do in heaven is share the gospel with other people, right? Everybody good with that? All right. Let me stretch you a little bit. What is the second And really, it's the first, it's the most important good thing that we can do here that we cannot do in heaven. It's really audience. Any takers on that? There's another thing that we can do here. The answer is, there's a little bit of rumbling, you might have got it right. The answer is, we can worship God with a certain, I don't want to use the word depth, because we're going to have a depth of worship in heaven that's way beyond this, but a certain, we can worship God in a certain way here that we can't worship God there. We can worship God from a position of pain here, pain and perplexity. We don't get what's going on. We're in tremendous pain, and we're worshiping God. We won't be able to do that there. I want you to think about that. One of the greatest acts of worship that we can do is worship God in perplexity and pain. So we're always carrying it about in the body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. I think it's manifested primarily through an attitude of worship as we fade away. We who live are constantly, notice verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Verse 11, we are constantly being delivered over to death, the normal life of a believer, for Jesus' sake, to glorify him, in other words, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus, his glorious nature. And that's how we began back in verse 6, this reading. So, bottom line, if you don't get it here. It's a great bumper sticker, by the way. Just hit me. Or a great sticker for your coffee mug. Death works in us, but life in you. That's just a summary of what we just read. What's he saying? As we die, as these old clay pots crumble, crack and crumble, and therefore allowing more and more of the glory of God through them, which is manifested in our trust and our worship, as that takes place, that imparts life to other people. That's an exemplifying of the gospel to other people. And I don't like anything I just said. We're at time. I was going to be honest with you today. I don't like anything I just said. But I think I'm absolutely right on my understanding of the passage. And if you think I'm not, please, honestly, for the good of this congregation, let me know, and I'll bring it up next week. I want you to meditate. We're just simply at time. James, come on up if you would. We are just simply at time. And Morgan, if you're part of that. As we face crazy hard stuff, including the death, imminent death of a spouse, three things we talked about today, and I could bring out a fourth and a fifth, but I'm not going to for right now. Not sure what we're going to do next week. I don't know. But this, for right now, be real. God's real. We love the Psalms because they're real. Be real. With God, with each other. Be real. Cry. Second one is daily have an insatiable desire to know God. Not some Sunday school answer about who he is, but truly to know. And that happens through the course of, according to Donna, according to me, through the course of time, just taking in who you read Scripture to know God, not to grab some promise or something. You read Scripture to know God. We've talked about that the last few weeks. As your knowledge of God goes, your suffering and your life goes. And then the third thing is we need to know our home. We need to be homesick to some degree. We need to know the direction of our journey. It's not wise to not know where you're going. And the direction of our journey is home. And it's an incredible place. And I've thought about spending a year just talking about nothing but heaven. There's so many passages. I guess so many things we want to talk about. Y'all want to quit your jobs and just meet every day? This stuff kills me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great privilege to be together for a few minutes today. Father, we do pray for Donna. We still pray for an absolute miracle for her, even at the last hour, so to speak. Father, we pray for a total miracle for her. At the same time, thank you for giving her apparently a real release. Her heart is fixed on you. Her heart seems to be at home in heaven even right now. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we can all experience that at the appropriate time. Thank you for giving us an incredible home in the Father's house, all of eternity. Unimaginable joy and peace and warmth of love, fullness of life. We give you thanks for your presence here, and we pray for those that are going through really hard stuff, Father, that you would work your perfect work in each of them regarding these three principles and others, Father. Thank you for the privilege to walk through life together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gospel taking our sin, or make it personal, friend, taking my sin on your body on the cross on Good Friday, bearing the penalty of my sin, every act of thought, word, and action that doesn't line up with you and your word, taking that on your body on the cross, dying in my place, paying the price, being punished in my place, rising again from the dead. You're alive today. You're offering me the gift of eternal life. I trust you for that gift. And now, Lord Jesus, guide me in ministry, service to other people as I walk with you. Guide all of us together in the same way, Father, we pray. Thank you for great grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. This area is open. If you're able to stand, please stand, but assume whatever position God lays on your heart. And again, this area is open. There'll be leaders, male and female, watching for you. Come on down regarding prayer for anything at all.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know the saith the Lord. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And oh, for grace to trust him more. Thank you.
There are life groups for all ages following this time. Check them out on the back side of your bulletin. If you're not sure where to go, you can meet us down here or meet some folks in the lobby. They'll direct you. We have a lunch following that time, and we encourage you to join us for that time. We'll take the Lord's Supper during that time and have fellowship together and continue, as I know you will, to remember what's going on in the Middle East. One of the most troubling for me things that's happened certainly in a long time, certainly this year, although there's many troubling things. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.